Okay. Mic test 1, 2, 3.
Mic test 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
All right. You sound good. There we go. You ready?
Yeah. Can I breathe into the mic really loud?
You know, I'm going to include all of this.
Hi, I'm Hiram. How are you?
That's not what I sound like.
I'm so excited to be here.
Stop. I don't sound like that.
Okay. Back here with another good take, bad take. And this one, I'm super excited about this one because even though I mentioned that we were going to be doing a slew of baseball related rankings and lists and so on and so forth, because after all, it is baseball season now. I'm going to just digress a little bit with this episode because sometimes when you have the opportunity, you take it, right?
Yep, that's correct.
That's right. So I have my own flesh and blood, my own son Hiram here.
The son, hijo de,
because he is a tremendous fan of Radiohead.
Mm-hmm.
And we found a list that was a ranking Radiohead albums ranked on generationmixtape.com. And we decided this is what we were going to do. But before we get there, I want to preview an upcoming one. Again, not a baseball one. And I'm not promising that it's going to be next week or the week after. We'll do it when the time is right. But I have locked in Chase 54 Candy. It's if you've ever seen this YouTube channel, it's absolutely fantastic. Chase 54 Candy has a channel where he does candy reviews. And most of them are about a year ago. He started less with the full videos and more on YouTube Shorts.
Right.
But I really like it. He does everything from Sour Patch, you know, watermelon jelly beans to sweet tarts to I'm looking through right now his shorts. Mm-hmm. Fruity Pebbles jelly beans. And over the weekend, I had the chance at a camp out. Actually, Chase happened to be there and he had a bunch of different candy, which was incredible because it's not on my diet. But I did actually partake of some of this. Including a candy that was supposed to be the world's sourest candy that you could buy on Amazon. So anyway, I'm really excited to have Chase on of Chase 54 Candy Reviews fairly soon. But without further ado, I give you, Hiram, my second child, obviously my favorite.
Thank you. Wait.
You're my second child.
Oh,
that's
okay.
True.
I thought you meant
also
second.
My favorite.
Okay.
Well, no, you're not my second favorite.
Thank you.
You're the first one who's been willing to actually come
on
microphone. Right. So would that not make you just inherently the favorite?
Yes. Intrinsically favorite.
Intrinsic favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this interestingly enough, this does not have an author. A lot of the rankings that we get have authors on it. This one does not. But we will, of course, like we always do, put the source URL. So it is on generationmixtape.com. And it was posted on November 16th of just this last year, 2023. So it is updated. It is current.
It's new.
To the Radiohead. So I want to first just give you the synopsis here that whoever wrote this for generationmixtape.com wrote. A running theme with these ranking the catalog write-ups is that I tend to focus my efforts on artists or bands that I hold in the highest esteem. And if I said band or artist is a little less known, then even better. After all, why spend a solid chunk of my very finite time writing about, say, Metallica when there are already 10 million articles out there? With that said, I've decided to share my thoughts on the incomparable Radiohead. Now, let me be clear, I'm very aware of how much Radiohead-centric content there is out there. I fully recognize that I'm tossing a bucket of words into a proverbial ocean, but I freaking love this band, so here we are. And unlike many of the other Desert Island artists, Miles Davis, Led Zeppelin, etc., I was there from the beginning. Radiohead's artistic ascent coincides quite nicely with my formative years, and for that reason, my fandom's tethered to a healthy dose of nostalgia. That said, I've never been a bigger fan of the band than I am today, a testament to the enduring genius of Radiohead's forward-thinking ethos. So, here are the caveats, and this is very important, and Hiram, you've heard some of the good take, bad take.
I have.
Sometimes it's not just on the ranking as it's presented, but it is on the methodology. What are the caveats? Because
right.
If they're true to that, then we have to take all that into consideration. Caveat number one, the following list will only take into account Radiohead's 9 proper studio releases. That's not to discount the treasure trove of B-sides, remixes, and the odd live album, but I had to draw the line somewhere. And certainly, as we talk about this today, we could talk about the B-sides, because there's some good ones. Caveat number two, it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it regardless. I'm a massive fan of Radiohead. Any and all criticisms are subjective and should be taken with a grain of salt. Okay, understood. Caveat number three, I'd like to file anything that I've written below in the ever-so-subjective prisoner-of-the-moment category. If I were to repeat this process 6 months from now, my results would probably change, except for the top spot. That's pretty much set in stone. So there you go. Those are the caveats. I totally understand those. Yep. And I will say to the listener who doesn't know the difference on this, that even in the last month or two, I feel like your lists have changed.
They have, and they're changing every day a little bit. You know.
And they might change again.
They might. They very well might.
Who knows? Okay. Here it is. 9th place. Pablo Honey.
Pablo Honey.
What do you think? Well, so he mentions the one, you know, this is the album, by the one with that song Creep.
Yeah.
Right. So I went and re-listened to all the albums as well, as per your instruction. And it is a far different album than all the rest. And having grown up in the 90s, it does sound like every other 90s grunge rock type band that's out there.
Yeah, I re-listened to it just a couple days ago. And that's kind of the takeaway I got is that, I mean, I've gotten, you know, familiar with, you know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam, some of those grunge bands. And a lot of it just sounds similar, kind of basic. So I'm fine with where this is right off the bat, honestly.
What songs on this album do you like?
I actually have a list. My favorites are Stop Whispering, Thinking About You, and Lurgy. I think that's how you say it, Lurgy. I think they're pretty good. They kind of like break away from the traditional, normal 90s alt grunge kind of feeling, and they go for something slower, and I like that a lot.
I love the fun nature of Anyone Can Play Guitar, though.
Me too. Yep.
I do really like that one.
Yep. Anyone Can Play Guitar. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, who sings that normally? How about Leave It to Them?
Shoot.
I'm hilarious. Highlights is mentioned by our buddy who is doing this in first person yet doesn't identify themselves. Yeah. It says, as with everything this band has released, there are loads of highlights. You, Anyone Can Play Guitar, and even Ripcord are all standouts. However, the closing 1-2 punch of Lurgy and Blowout represent the album's peak, with the edge going to the album closer.
Okay, so he likes Blowout the most.
Yeah.
It looks like.
The lowlights he mentions are, he said, if for no other reason than I literally need to hear it again, that I never need to hear it again. Creep is going to get the nod. The other one, True Love Waits, and Everything I Touch Turns to Stone. He says blow.
So he's, it looks like he's.
Favorite lyric.
Yeah, favorite lyric. He's like, okay, so he has All I Need as the highlight, the gloaming as the low light, and True Love Waits
is the favorite lyric and her moment.
Makes sense.
Okay. So there you go. And funny enough, I mean, Creep, of course, that is the most well-known. Yeah. If somebody hears that just out there in the world that doesn't really, they're not a Radiohead fanboy or even just a fan.
Yeah, don't love that song.
When I was in, if you can imagine, college radio, you know, the early 2000s and then the late 90s, college radio, Creep was on all the time. So I think I've heard that song, you know, many, many, many times, but it's not that I dislike it. It's just I could also, if I never heard it again, I would be fine.
So I, having grown up in like, you know, early 2010s, kind of, I was a step back from Creep as a popular song.
Yeah, so, it wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, I think the first time I heard it was literally watching The Book of Life, because the main character sings that song in it. And like, I think it's a pretty good song, and I like it as one of my, I think, top half songs on the album. But I don't think it's one of the lowlights, that's for sure. I think this guy has, you know, some of that, the bias against the overplayed aspect of it.
Right. So just for some context for the listener, you're 17.
Yeah.
And in some regards, I've raised you right because you have heard Pearl Jam. I raise you on Pearl Jam. Yep. What are some of the other artists that I've raised you on?
Well,
anything from the 90s, pretty much.
Yeah, a lot of grunge, you know, Alanis Morissette.
Well, you don't really like Alanis Morissette.
I do not like Alanis Morissette.
I still love Alanis Morissette, but you were familiar with her because I raised you right.
Yep.
What else?
You're a big fan of Dave Matthews Band.
Dave Matthews. Yep. I've taken you to a concert.
You have.
I took you to the Chill Night. So every every Labor Day. They
it was
do
a
the
snooze fest.
Labor Day weekend, right? Yeah. Friday slow, Saturday mm-hmm. they go hard. Yeah. And so next time I need to take you on a Saturday, yeah. Obviously. Yeah, most of the songs that you're familiar with, they played on Saturday, the day after we were there. Yeah. So, but Radiohead was not one that I really raised you on.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. found that on your own.
I did. I got introduced from a playlist that I had, and it had no surprises on it.
It was My Existential Crisis.
It was not. But it had no surprises on it, and I heard the song, and I was like, wow, this sounds really cool. And then I went and
listened to it.
It is a really good song. And I listened to the rest of OK Computer, and none of it sounded like that. And so I was kind of looking for the No Surprises-esque song, and I got introduced to In Rainbows, which had some of that same kind of feeling that I wanted. And then from there, it just kind of spiraled.
What was the movie?
Wait,
Batman? Or was that on that?
No.
No,
that
was Nirvana.
That was Nirvana,
that. Okay. Do you remember what the movie was?
What movie?
That you, didn't you say you saw a movie that had No Surprises
no,
on
I
it?
No, I saw a play. I had a playlist with No Surprises on it.
Yeah. You sounded like your grandma when I did that. Oh.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, wow. Well, I'm old now. Okay. All right, number eight, Hail to the Thief. Now, from here on out, it's a different sound than Pablo Honey.
Yeah.
Hail to the Thief. Our buddy No Name says, the first time I listened to this album's blistering opener, 2 plus 2 equals 5, I distinctly remember thinking, hey, this kind of reminds me of the Radiohead I used to know. Of course, it took all of 3 minutes for me to realize that Hail to the Thief wasn't exactly the return to rock album that the press had made it out to be. So this came out in 2003.
Yeah.
So this was before any of my kids were born that this came out.
Yeah.
All right. But I distinctly remember having the CD and listening to it quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I was broadcasting baseball, and I remember driving down to Lynchburg, Virginia. So at that point, so I was coming from the D.C. area.
Yeah.
I was broadcasting for a team just outside of Washington, D.C., driving down to Lynchburg, Virginia, in my Honda Accord, and it had decent sound. It wasn't mm-hmm. great, but it was okay. And I just remember, I love 2 + 2 = 5. Like, I love that song.
Yeah.
Like, it hit just right for me. And when it would get done, I'd go back and I'd listen to it again, you know. And sometimes I'd let it skip for 2 or 3 songs, then I'd go back and listen to that one again. And then I would go forward to, the, you know, wherever I had left off, maybe track 5, track 6, and then I'd go back and listen to it mm-hmm. again. It just hit right, right? It felt good. Driving down these winding roads, going down to Lynchburg, Virginia, which is in the middle of nowhere. It's a heavily dense wooded area. And then you get to, you know, Jerry Falwell City or whatever it is there. So, yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome. So, yeah. I mean, it's incredible to think that I was listening to Radiohead before you were ever born.
Yeah.
And I would have never guessed that one of my kids would be an even bigger fan of a musician that I used to listen to than I am, yeah. right? Because I love Radiohead, but you are a fan of it.
Full circle.
Full circle. Tell me what you think of Hail to the Thief, because they have them number 8.
I think it's a little too low. And I'm going to preface this by saying we haven't even seen some of my lowest albums yet. I would put King of Limbs here, I think. But I think Hail to the Thief is a little bit bloated, and I think it lacked a little bit of direction, but I think overall it's a good album.
So I think part of the reason was this came out in 2003,
mm-hmm.
right? And Kid A came out in 2000.
Yeah, Kid A came out in 2000.
Right, yep. So the style, when you heard 2 + 2 = 5, it was like, okay, this is pretty rock,
mm-hmm.
right? But I mean, there was some good stuff. And what were they gonna do? Electronica? Were they gonna be a rock band? And in this case, it was kind of a combination of both. Now that's why some people like this, because it's mm-hmm. a little bit of both worlds, but. I know you sometimes talk about the continuity of an album,
yeah,
and from start to finish that it flows well, and maybe this writer, whoever's penning this, says that it's not that for them.
I actually kind of agree with that, but I think song for song, this album's pretty decent, but it does kind of get hard to distinguish tracks, because a lot of it is just hard rock, I would mm-hmm. say.
Yep.
You know, they're going pretty heavy here. And I would have liked them to do more with the electronic sounds that they brought in Kid A. You know, kind of combine those better.
Yep.
But
So their highlight was
a punch up at a wedding.
A punch up at a wedding,
which is all my favorite songs of this album for sure.
Nice. Their low light, it says, so because they had a fall, the 2+2=5, mm-hmm. you know, leads off the thing, yeah. and it's followed up by sit down, stand up.
Yeah.
And they write, it's a woefully misplaced momentum killing song that I've been skipping since day one. And I think that's part of the reason why I would go back, and because I get into a track two and I'm like, and I go back to track one.
Yeah. I do like sit down, stand up, but I think I do concur with the whole, like,
coming right off of the other one.
It doesn't flow as, like, as a, you know, track list.
And their favorite lyric is from There, There. It says, there's always a siren singing you to shipwreck. Steer away from these rocks. We'd be a walking disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know that that's really poetic, but that's their favorite lyric.
Yeah.
Okay. So be it. So if what I hear is correct, you're saying, yeah, it's not going to be up there in the upper echelon for you, but 8 might be just a little bit low.
I think it's a little low. I would put it maybe 6 about there.
Okay. Here's the one album that I really have not listened to a whole. There are two albums that I really haven't listened to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
King of Limbs is one. And Amnesiac is the other one. Amnesiac's their number 7 on the list. Came out in 2001. It was their 5th album. It was released just 7 months after Kid A. And so a lot of people would say, was this like the you know, retreads? Or like, was this the stuff that was left over that didn't make it onto Kid A?
Kind of is.
So, and maybe that's how a lot of people
It was feel. Recorded in the same session as Kid A.
Yeah.
But
so, what songs do you like from that one?
From Amnesiac, I like Pyramid Song. I like Life in a Glass House. Specifically, I like the extended version, which isn't technically on this album, but Life in a Glass House is. And I like Knives Out.
Yeah, Pyramid Song is good. Knives Out, I also have on mm-hmm. a playlist. Do you have a special name for your Radiohead playlist?
I don't, because
did you just call it Radiohead? My Radiohead playlist.
That is, I did just name it Radiohead as a filler name, because I was just, as I was re-listening to all the albums for this podcast, I was putting all my favorites in the playlist, so I just kind of.
And you know what mine's named, right?
I forgot. So
you forgot Melodies. Melodies for an Existential Crisis.
That's good.
Okay. Low lights. Well, the highlight for them was Pyramid Song,
mm-hmm.
and then low light was Morning Bell / Amnesiac. It says it's quite possibly the only radio song I truly dislike. Like I said, I've tried to understand it, but I can't. This treatment just grates on my ears.
Yeah.
And their favorite lyric was from Pyramid Song. The perfectly timed fill that introduces the rest of the band just might be the best thing Philip Selway has ever committed to tape. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. So, I have listened to this album like 3 or 4 times just in the last couple of weeks, because I was trying to figure out, since I like Kid A, mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out like what was the difference, I guess, and what made Kid A good and this didn't work as well. And I think it's just that they didn't execute.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
So my least favorite songs are Poke Pull Revolving Doors and like Spinning Plates. And like Spinning Plates has like the reversed instrumental. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And
let's just say for the sake of this conversation that I understand. No, I haven't, but
I just don't, I don't think they could, like, in their prime, you know, during Kid A, I guess. Well, this is during Kid A.
That's
I mean, how much effort they put into the songs on Kid A.
Yeah.
I think the ideas that they brought on Amnesiac could have been executed. If they were executed on that level, then this album would have been really good.
So when we get to Moonshaped Pool, because that's an interesting point, you talk about their prime. Maybe that's would be called their second wind. I don't know, because because I really feel like that time period, late 90s, early 2000s, probably was their prime.
Yeah.
Like their songwriting was peak, and mm-hmm. they had a style that was fantastic and
interesting. And
interesting. Yeah. But then they had to have second wind, because there were other albums that came after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That were fantastic. And we'll talk about Kid A, but we're also going to talk about In Rainbows, because that came after some of these other ones that we're talking about. So anyway, so Amnesiac, they have at Number seven. So is that one that you'd say, well, that's probably a little high considering. What was their number eight again?
Their number eight was Hail to the Thief.
Yeah, Hail to the Thief. I liked Hail to the Thief better than I liked Amnesiac.
I do too. And I think I actually have Amnesiac where they have it at number seven, but I have Pablo Honey and King of Limbs.
Okay.
Below it.
Yeah, so King of Limbs is their number six. Our writer says, had I written this ranking 10 years ago, 2011's The King of Limbs would have come in dead last. So, yeah, it took a while for the album to grow on me, but grow on me it has. Mm. So that's one that maybe I need to listen to it a few more times, because this was a time period when I really wasn't listening to a lot of music.
Yeah.
Certainly not anything in that genre, Radiohead, which is a genre that I'm not really sure what you call it.
I
mean, they kind of cross. Yeah, alt rock, maybe. I mean, they, if you were to look at like the Grammys or something, like what are they going to win an award for? Alt rock, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. I've heard it called mathematical rock, which is an interesting way to
math rock.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting way to talk about it.
Yeah,
but but he says, but with the benefits of repeated listens, I slowly began to recognize the genius of this album. It's a less a collection of songs and more a summation of mood. Not unlike Miles Davis's early 70s work, Big Fun for the Win. It says tracks like Bloom and Little by Little seep into one another, not unlike movements in a larger piece. Okay, so continuity-wise, he's saying, hey, this actually works. It's like one big
thing. I agree. It has a cohesive sound, I would say.
So their highlights are Codex and Lotus Flower.
Yep, me too.
He says also Give Up the Ghost is a late career highlight. And then lowlights, Feral. It says plays like an unfinished sketch. And then favorite lyric was from Give Up the Ghost. It says, in your arms, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. I think I should give up the ghost, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. I don't know.
So I think
you have to imagine Tom York actually singing that, of course,
and it's weird and takes 40 seconds.
Yeah. 40 seconds, and then you have to look up what he's saying because you didn't understand it anyway.
He's British, yeah. But
well, and the way he slurs and chops off words. And
yeah.
So
I agree with what he's saying about the atmosphere of this album. Like, I think the album cover of it kind of, like, embodies the sound really well. You know, it's kind of creepy, kind of weird, kind of dark. And I like how the sampled drums, the electronic drums, it's like that you can't play with one drummer, you know? Like, on
from
the basement, they had the Portishead drummer come in. I think it all creates, like, a pretty cool sonic palette, but that doesn't mean they executed all the songs well.
Okay. I can feel that. Number five, The Bends. Okay, this came out in 1995. This was the defining moment of my, you know, youthhood. I'm not going to say childhood, because I was 15 when this came out. So I was in high school. You know, that's when music starts to play a different role in your life.
Yep.
In defining, you know, your entertainment and the kind of things that, you know, you do and like. And I would not say that at that time period I was really into Radiohead, but this was the album that first made me aware of Radiohead, and a lot of the songs that were on that I would hear, even if I weren't like, yes, I'm going to go buy this album yet. Right. Yep. Of course, after I really became more of a fan of music, then I went back and got the Bends. But Bends was a very... very much a success for the band, even though Creep is still like the radio play and all that. That's still like their number one song in terms of radio play. It absolutely was the Bends that put them on the map.
Yeah, I agree.
So, the album sold like the best, you know, at that point, like better than Pablo Honey. And, I thought that was good. And Tom York, you know, I mean, he's been very vocal about not liking Creep.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case in the Bends. He didn't have those kind of moments. So I thought that was good.
Yeah. I think he sort of feels that way about High and Dry from what I've seen. You know, he doesn't like to play it at concerts like that because of, you know, the popularity. But it seems like he just doesn't like playing, you know, his popular songs.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Yeah. But. Anyway, I liked it. High and Dry is, you know, one of their more well-known ones. Fake Plastic Trees. Both of these, by the way, these and My Iron Lung. These were all ones we played college radio a lot. Yeah. So they were also very familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, at that time period when I was playing things, fake plastic tears. No matter what the songs were, these were on what we called, they were on carts. So carts almost look like these 8-tracks.
Yeah.
But they were like, they'd have a stop point. So as soon as it played and it got done, you didn't stop it. It just kept going,
mm-hmm.
and there was nothing on it, but you had to let it keep going because it would circle around back to the beginning and then it would turn off. And so then you'd pull the cart out. And so that way, when you went to go play it next time, you'd put it in and start it and it would be right at the beginning.
Right.
Right. Cause you didn't want to put in a cart that hadn't been finished and you hit it and you'd like, there's a misfire. Like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, carts were a weird thing. And we heard all of these on carts, which yeah. was like an analog, you know, type thing. So it was interesting. But Street Spirit Fade Out is, in this person's opinion, the record's best moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, this was the one that sent me straight to the store to pick up my first Radiohead CD. Low Lights was Black Star.
Okay. I think... I've listened to this album a lot, and it's like, it is crazy how much of a step up in quality it is from Pablo Honey.
What was the story you told me about a critic that had rated Pablo Honey?
There was a publication who gave Pablo Honey a 1 out of 10, and then when the Bends came out, and they called Radiohead something like a 2-bit like kind of copy of, you know, grunge bands at the time. And then when the Bends came out, they gave it an outstanding score. And then I think it was just a testament to how good this album is. Mm-hmm. I love this album. It's so good.
To be clear, it's not just favorite lyric. It is, excuse me, it also says favorite moment, which would explain the from Street Spirit Fade Out. So
just the background vocals.
Yeah. Give me an example. What would that sound like?
He's like, fade out again, and it's like, oh, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But all right. Number four, A Moon-Shaped Pool from 2016. And also, I just got you this on vinyl for that your 17th true. Birthday because I love you. You are
Thank
a good
you.
Child.
Thank you.
Or at least decent to good.
Thank you.
This is their 9th album.
Mm-hmm.
And is it their last? Is it not? We don't know. I mean, they're still performing.
Yeah.
They just performed a couple of weeks ago in Ireland.
Yeah.
And so, yes, just so you know, I do look up right now. I look up Radiohead and where they're performing because
I do as well.
You would like to see them before they are no longer a band.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an amazing opportunity?
Yeah.
So... it says the Moon-Shaped Pool is awash in expansive arrangements, lush productions, and some of Tom York's most poignant lyrical and vocal work to date.
Mm-hmm.
The album leans heavily on orchestral embellishments, something that's apparent from the opening moments of Burn the Witch.
Yep.
Of course, the band's all there as well, and in that regard, A Moon-Shaped Pool is probably Radiohead's most organic-sounding release. That's not to say there aren't electronic flourishes, but the laptop beeps and squeaks largely feel ornamental, where the band's prior release, King of Them Limbs, saw them fully embracing a drum and bass indebted deconstruction of their sound. A Moon-Shaped Pool features the welcome return of some actual guitar playing, mostly clean or acoustic. Songs like Desert Island Disc and The Numbers could slide easily into any 1990s Radiohead release.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
I do too, and I love this album. And I've listened to this one the most, I think, of any Radiohead album, at least in the last month.
In the last month, because before that, you were listening to In Rainbows.
I was listening to In Rainbows, but I listened to In Rainbows still. But this album, I think, is one of my favorite albums.
What songs on this right now are the ones that you like?
Okay, so I like every song on this album, but in specifically. I've been listening to Present Tense a lot. I love the production on it, and I noticed yesterday when I was wearing headphones that it starts off with, like, it sounds like a drum kit, maybe, and then it starts playing real drums, and then when the chorus comes in, there's another guitar that kind of picks up the tempo a little bit, and it's, like, in your top left, and it's a really cool production, but that's one of my favorites. Glass Eyes has a really haunting, beautiful piano. Dex Dark is one I like. I think I made you listen to that like 2 years ago.
Yep.
And Dex Dark is great. I listen to that a lot.
Yep.
And my least favorite, there's only one least favorite, and it's Identikit. And I've seen a lot of people like Identikit a lot because this guy even has it in his highlights.
Yep, he says Daydreaming Full Stop and Identikit, and he says that's solo.
Yeah. And I like the solo, and I like the when it comes with the kind of electronic, weird, distorted choir at the end, like near the end. But something about the pacing of it, and it was just like, then you're left inside. I don't know. It just didn't hit for me as the rest of the songs did.
He lists potentially True Love Waits as his least favorite treatment of an otherwise incredible and oft-recorded song. But he says, still, regardless of the instrumentation, the album closer is way too strong to be a lowlight, so instead I'm going to go with somewhat meandering Tinker Tailor.
Tinker Tailor, Soldier Sailor, Rich Man, Poor Man, Beggar Man, Thief. That's the whole full name of the song.
That's kind of a cool song name, though.
Yeah, it is. It's really long.
So his favorite lyric or moment, it's and actually for lyrics, I think this one's good for daydreaming. It's too late. The damage is done. This goes beyond me, beyond you.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's a good lyric, too.
It is.
So number three, this is a shocker for me. So if you look up, this is why I chose this list, actually. Mm. If you look up what most rankings, what is number one?
Okay, Computer.
On this one, it's number three.
Number three, yeah.
OK Computer from 1997. OK, so I mentioned that, that yes, I became aware of Radiohead from the Bends in 1995. Mm-hmm. This is the album, though, that, again, at this point, I think I was 18 years old, and I got this album, and I remember the Rolling Stone had a big article on Tom York, and I just got into it. Mm-hmm. And right from the get-go, like, yes, I liked Paranoid Android. I liked all those songs, right? Well, funny enough, No Surprises didn't really hit at that time.
Yeah. I mean, it's less rock and more like a weird ballad.
Like electronic type. Yeah. But I love it now. Mm-hmm. But what's the first song on that? Airbag.
Airbag, yeah.
Boy, I loved it. I just love that song so much.
That guitar is really cool.
It's amazing. So it says, OK Computer certainly stands as one of the best things to come out of the 90s. Had the band simply ended here, their legacy would have been secure. In just about every way, OK Computer finds Radiohead pushing against the boundaries of their sound. Universally lauded upon release, the album is a rare case of critics and fans alike falling over each other in unified praise. And who could blame them? Despite the stories of its tortured creation, a recurring theme, OK Computer is a brilliantly defiant statement from a band that had all but outgrown the traditional confines of guitar rock. Radiohead had pretty much perfected the formula established on Pablo Honey, which, of course, meant that it was time to tear it all down and start again. It might not feel that all that revolutionary when compared to Kid A's dystopian soundscapes, but in the context of 1997, OK Computer was a bold, counterintuitive step forward. Dude, I lived in 1997, yeah. So I can tell you it worked. In many ways, OK Computer was the end of an era for Radiohead. A ridiculously high watermark doubling as a first act climax. 20 years ago, this was universally regarded as Radiohead's peak. The fact that it isn't at the top of this list has little to do with OK Computer and everything to do with the masterpieces that would follow. So what's your favorite song on this?
Oh, it's so hard to pick. This album is so good. And it's I put it at the top of my list. But my favorites right now are Let Down, Lucky, and like every other song, I guess. Yeah.
So I love No Surprises. I still, man, for me, he lists Paranoid Android, Karma Police, and Exit Money for a film.
I love Paranoid Android.
I really, really like Airbag still. I don't know what it is about that. Maybe it's because the first song on the album. His low light is fainter, happier, more productive. I mean, it was just different.
That's just an interlude, basically.
Can I tell you a story? Exit music for a film. This was supposed to be for what movie?
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Romeo plus Juliet, right?
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet, Leonardo DiCaprio, Claire Danes.
Yeah.
I had a crush on Claire Danes back then.
Nice. Thank you for letting me know.
Yes. Okay. Did you know? You might be aware. Did you know?
This is you and Mom's first movie.
It was our first date
that
we ever went on. Uh-huh. We went to this movie.
I know.
The Baz Luhrmann, movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listened to Exit Music for a Film, you would not have even needed to tell me what movie it was going to go on. When you listen to this, you absolutely know. If you've watched that movie, maybe a couple times, you're like, what movie would this have been in the 90s? You're like, oh, Romeo and Juliet. Like, it just had that sound, right? It was perfect for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But was it on that movie?
Nope.
No, it wasn't. What was wrong with these people?
I don't know. Perfect for this album, though.
It was.
And now you could use it in, like, Batman or something. I don't know.
Right. Banter, happier, more productive. And then the favorite lyric is the final crescendo from the moment Colin's bass kicks in all the way through Tom's final "We Hope You Choke." That's their favorite moment. Exit music for film.
That is it.
Year 2000. Kid A.
Kid A.
So, truthfully, he said, I was not a fan of Kid A the first time I heard it. What? Okay. I was working at a record store back in the fall of 2000, and as was the custom back in those days, we had the album blasting through the store speakers the moment we received our release day delivery. I'll never forget the sense of, well, confusion is probably the best word for what I was feeling. Where were the guitars? In fact, I distinctly remember breathing a sigh of relief when Optimistic began to play, only to hang my head a few minutes later when I realized that it was the only Radiohead-sounding song on the album. Of course, looking back now, Kid A is hardly the sonic misstep I initially took it for. In fact, despite the lukewarm sales at the time, the album is now highly regarded by fans and critics alike. As for this writer, it only took a decade or so for the sheer genius of York and Company's celebration of what is possible when a bunch of people get together and forget about everything except trying to create a work that speaks to them at that moment in a sort of frenzied last days on earth kind of way to finally click. And once it did, I spent the next decade or so listening to the album incessantly. The first song on this album is Everything in Its Right Place. I'm here to tell you that there is no other song that I have found that sounds good, loud levels to test good speakers.
Yeah.
Like the different ranges, the way it hits, like, the oh my gosh.
The
synths
and the vocals and the glitching.
I've found that song sounds just, you want to test out as good speakers, that mm-hmm. is it.
Yeah.
I've also found Blind Melon, weirdly enough, was like a, they have another, that's a song that, anyway.
Interesting.
Yes, this one is fantastic. In fact, when we get done here, let's go out there to my truck, which has a good sound system, and let's listen to it on full blast.
Okay.
Done.
However, I do have some qualms about this album, and that's why it is actually lower on my list.
Where is it at for you?
Number 4.
Whoa!
And I've listened to this album like at least like 7 times
plus. So, just to be clear, the number 4 album that they had here... No, their number 4 was Moonshaped Pool. Their number 3 was OK Computer.
Number 2,
their
Kid
number
A.
2 is Kid A.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Moonshaped Pool as number 3. Kid A as
number 4.
Number 4.
Yes.
OK Computer is number 2.
Number 1.
Number 1. Well, it used to be number 2.
It used to be number 2.
Because In Rainbows was your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell me your qualms about Kid A.
I think... that song for song, it is really, really incredible. Like, all the instrumentation and, like, the sound and atmosphere is insane. Like,
mm-hmm.
How to Disappear Completely is one of my favorite Radiohead songs. Let's think. I like, I even like Tree Fingers, which a lot of people don't like, because it's just like a droning kind of, what's the word? I don't know. It's
well,
one of those.
It's his low light.
It sounds like one of those songs that you listen to, like, meditation or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I actually, like, I like that song a lot. But there's something about the continuity about this album that doesn't work for me. Like, especially in the beginning of the album when it goes from Everything in Its Right Place to, I think, National Anthem is the second.
Might be.
No, Kid A is the second track.
Yeah, like and A. then National
And then National Anthem. And National Anthem is just, like, blaring horn section, and it's, like, mm-hmm. all over the place, chaotic, and then it's right to disappear completely, and it doesn't make sense, like, in an album track list sort of way. And that's the only qualm I have about this album. I like every song for song. I like it a lot, but I think it doesn't flow as well as it could.
Okay. Number 1 on the list, In Rainbows from 2007. And our buddy says, there's a part of me that's tempted to write In Rainbows is the best / my favorite album of all time and just leave it there. Obviously, the best of anything is inherently debatable, but when it comes to personal favorites, In Rainbows has long held that spot. In fact, I hold this album in such high regard, the thought of putting my thoughts into words is downright intimidating. Still, I'm going to try. And he talks about orchestral embellishments, Colin's brilliant bass work, Philip's unmistakable drumming, Ed's integral guitar parts, and Tom York delivering a career-high vocal performance.
Yeah.
And says, and thanks to the album's spacious mix, Everyone Shines. In one respect, In Rainbows was a point of convergence, a fusion of Radiohead, the alt-rock headliners, and our alt-rock trailblazers. But independent of stylistic learnings and sonic aesthetics, what really sets In Rainbows apart is the songwriting. The upbeat tracks, which are 15 Step, Body Snatchers, Jigsaw, show that the band is capable of rocking. And then Weird Fishes, Reckoner, find the band pairing their live playing with a healthy dose of atmosphere.
Yeah.
This was one of the albums that, yes, I absolutely, I guess I felt it, but I didn't know how to articulate or really, I hadn't thought about it conscientiously. But Reckoner was the one that I finally went, you know, they do an absolute masterful job building, crescendoing to a climax on most of these songs. Like, you're like, okay, this is, it's kind of chill. And at some point in the song, you're going, wow, like I got lost in this music.
Mm-hmm.
And Reckoner was one of the songs that, that actually made me feel that way.
That is exactly how I feel. I mean, like listening to a lot of these songs on this album, I'll be listening for one of my favorite parts of the song, you know, like a certain, you know, moment that hits for me, and I will lose it because like I'll forget that it happened because I'm just so entranced in the music. It is so good.
Go ahead.
I think this is my I would say this is my favorite Radiohead album. It could be my favorite album in general, but I don't think it's better than OK Computer. I think OK Computer is slightly better. Just slightly.
What is your highlight?
This
dude lists House of Cards. You know, I shouldn't say dude because it might be a dudette.
It could be a girl, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorites are Jigsaw, Weird Fishes, and Nude, I think. Those are probably my three favorites.
And if I were to, hold on, I'm going to let you know. Sorry, give me just a second.
Okay.
Just give me a second.
I know you like Reckoner, All I Need.
Hold on, I'm looking.
You like video
just calm down. I like Nude, yeah. Reckoner, and Videotape are the three that I had. Yeah. And actually, I really like Weird Fishes now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like the more I've heard it.
That's one of my favorites since the beginning.
Yeah.
I like the interesting time signatures that they use on this album. You're gonna get copyrighted.
No, I'm not going to get copyrighted. Man, I didn't pull enough of that.
I love the time signatures on this album, especially
don't copyright me. I didn't play enough of it.
Okay. Especially in like 15 Step and Weird Fishes, like the drums are just like, I think they're in 5/4 time signature. It's like, and it doesn't like sound like it would work in like this kind of calming, relaxing way.
Which one?
15 Step and Weird Fishes.
Okay.
It's like the drums are really chaotic and then the guitar comes in and it shouldn't work. Like it's just like this really warm guitar and these crazy like drums. And then it works all together and it creates this insane sound. And it's wow. It's just wow.
Low light on here on theirs was Videotape. It says only because the slightly off time percussion sample can be a tad distracting. Still, it's a freaking genius song. So I'm really grasping at straws here.
I think the ending of Videotape is one of the craziest moments on this album.
And then their favorite lyric is, I don't want to be your friend, I just want to be your lover.
I don't want to be your friend, I just want to be your lover. Yeah. So my low light is Faust Arp because it's just too short. Like, it's so good. Like, the instruments are so good, but it's now, only 2 minutes.
Okay, so now let's talk about, and we'll circle back on Good Take, Bad Take. So we didn't mention Side B's because they didn't mention it on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. But of course you have, what is it?
In Rainbows, Just Weed.
Okay, not okay.
Okay, not okay.
Okay, not okay. Polyethylene.
Yeah, polyethylene's on that. Okay.
Yeah, parts one and two.
Yeah.
I mean, I had like the EP or whatever.
Yeah, on CD.
Yeah, I had it on CD, and absolutely loved it. And you know, that wasn't ranked, but those were some really good songs as well.
Yeah.
And then just listening the other day to what disc two it said for In Rainbows.
Disc B.
Oh, sorry. My bad. So disc.
Oh, no, it is disc two. What is disc B?
Oh, yeah. Eat it. I was right. You were wrong. I'm smart. You're dumb.
Yeah,
I'm
like disc
good looking. You're not attractive.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So Down is the new up.
Uh-huh.
And I liked it a lot. And Last Flowers. Absolutely loved that.
Like so. Up on the ladder, go slowly. 4 minute warning. Yeah.
Oh, you're just naming all of them.
No, that's all the ones I liked a lot.
Yes, I liked MK1. Down is the new up. Go slowly. MK2. Last flowers up on the ladder. Bangers plus mash. Stop bangers and mash. And 4 minute warning. That's all. That's the only ones I liked.
Everything.
All right.
So, okay. Overall, good take or bad take?
I would say it is so far, like, separated from my own ranking that I would give it a bad take.
Okay. Based on the methodology and the fact that for me, he mentions that this could all change.
Yeah.
Like, I'm changing my mind on this still. Mm. I would say overall, I think it's a good take.
Yeah.
Although I do think, what was it that was a little bit low?
Health of the Thief.
I thought Health of the Thief was a little low. But overall, I say good take.
Yeah.
Bad take and a good take. We had one of each.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Nice. At some point in the future, we will find another topic that you feel strongly about.
Yes.
That you want to join me and embarrass yourself by joining your own father.
Yeah, it is really embarrassing, and I hated being here.
Yeah, so, I hated being here. Well, I didn't really like it when you were here anyway, so that might be the last time. But thank you so much for listening to Good Take, Bad Take. That's Hiram. I'm Chappie.
I'm Hiram.
Yep.
Again.
And I'm Chappie. He's like, I was so embarrassed to be here anyway, and you keep naming me. And yeah, so in the meantime, We'll come back your way with another one in the future, but in the meantime, just keep listening to Radiohead.
Keep listening to Radiohead. Stream all their songs. Buy the records and stuff. I don't know. Just support them. They're British. So,
out of here. Bye.
Bye.